Hi, everybody. Mark Ashton here, lead pastor of Christ Community Church, coming to you with a little bit of a thought from Daniel chapters 5 and 9. It's September 21st, as you read through your daily Bible in chronological order, and I cannot help but give a shout out to my number one son, my oldest, Caleb. Today is his birthday. Happy birthday to you, bud. I love you. Hope you're doing well as you march through your daily Bible as well. Well, things have now deteriorated so much in Babylon that Belshazzar doesn't even know who Daniel is. Did you notice that in your reading today? Though he had been the most honored of all of Nebuchadnezzar's advisors. When the heavenly hand writes the mysterious message on the palace wall, it's the queen, who may have been Nebuchadnezzar's daughter, who remembers Daniel and urges the king to summon him for help. Well, the faithful prophet's still around, and he summoned, as was his customer in Nebuchadnezzar's day, he finds himself able to interpret a message from God to the Babylonian king. Now, did you notice that the final straw of God's wrath does not come on to the nation of Babylon because of drunkenness or because of revelry or sensuality in the feast, but because of the sacrilege of using the temple vessels? Using the temple vessels was a foolish and wicked thing to do. But I would have expected the judgment of losing the kingdom to fall with a rather different set of charges, like cruelty to people or disregard of justice or something else, taking bribes. But God's greater concern was the issue of insulting the honor of the living God. For that, the kingdom falls. I remember the same sense of mild surprise when reading Ezekiel and finding out that one of the three most heinous sins that Judah committed was the desecration of the Sabbath day. Making light of holy things, ignoring and insulting God, is a far greater sin than most people, even most Christians, ever understand. Well, at this point in the text, the wheels of world history are about to change once again. Did you notice that Darius, the Mede, took over for Belshazzar, the Babylonian? It's a short comment, but it shows that there is a change in empire that's happening at this point. God predicts that Belshazzar's time is very short. That's the meany part. Your days are numbered. You say it twice, that means your days are really numbered. The Medes and the Persians are about to take over. So the book of Daniel, very understandably, describes the shift in empires from the Middle East being under Babylonian rule to the rule of the Medes and the Persians. In essence, from today's language, it would be like the rulership shifting from Iraq to Iran. Daniel stays around in the Medes Empire as an important advisor. He'll become an advisor to Belshazzar, we'll find out. Now, this is notable about Daniel's life. Daniel started off in Israel as a rising star, a teenager with tons of potential. Then he went to the Babylonian Empire, which we read about in Daniel chapter 1. And he serves in that empire, get this, for 63 years. Now a new empire is coming in and taking over, and he's going to spend his last few years with King Darius. What a career this guy has. Well, the regular discipline of prayer was so important to Daniel that he was willing to risk his very life for it. In Daniel chapter 9, we get a picture of what Daniel's prayers looked like. We get to find out about his confession and his intercession. And this is a great prayer that's worth commentary, but I want to focus on the prediction of Gabriel of the 77s and let you analyze that classic prayer by Daniel for yourself. Well, we know that Antiochus Epiphanes was the one. Yesterday's devotion, we talked about Antiochus Epiphanes in somewhere around 170 BC being the one who caused the abomination that causes desolation. We also know from what Jesus says hundreds of years later in the book of Matthew chapter 24 or Mark 13 that there's still coming yet another abomination that causes desolation that's going to happen at the end of the world. So Daniel's talking both in the short run about Antiochus Epiphanes and he's referring to something that's going to happen way into the future. So when you go into this prophecy that talks about 77s, what time frame is he talking about? Short frame or long frame? Or is he talking about both? Well, the answer to that question, of course, lies in the arithmetic of the 70 weeks. There were actually two decrees to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. You could use the beginning of the 70 weeks at either one of those times. One was given by Cyrus in 538 BC. The other came from Artaxerxes in 445 BC. This second one is also mentioned in the book of Ezra. So if we begin at the 445 BC date, March 14th, 445 BC, and we count forward 69 weeks. Now it should be said that a week is symbolic of 7 years. Just like a week has 7 days, a week is symbolic of 7 years. And you fast forward 69 weeks, okay? Each one being 7 years, that's 62 plus 7 is 69, times 7 is 483 years. If you go from March 14th, 445 BC, and go ahead 483 years and adjust for two things. One is the fact that the Jewish calendar was a lunar calendar of 360 days, not 365 days. And you also have to adjust for the year zero, not really being a year, because things go from 1 BC to 1 AD. If you go ahead that way, you wind up with 476 years and some change. You wonder what's happening 476 years later. Well, that's March 32 AD. And many scholars would point this as the date that Jesus is getting nailed to a cross. Some scholars try to say that that's the exact day, March 29, 32 AD, the day of the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, and this was exactly 483 lunar years after this prophecy kicked off. Jesus' trial, his conviction, and his death were predicted to the day. And at that time, the Anointed One was cut off, and Jesus was killed, and a whole new era began. God just keeps showing up in the Scriptures with these amazing dynamic predictions. And so you ask, well, what about that 70th week? If those are the first 69, where's the 70th week? Well, the total explanation for that is too long for this accelerator, but let me give you a quick summary. I believe that the 70th week is Daniel's reference to the end times. That final 7 years is a 7-year period of time that's referred to in Matthew chapter 24 and Revelation and is popularly known as the tribulation. It's something that we look forward to happening in the future. We look forward to it with dread, actually, because it's going to be pretty miserable. There will be a covenant of peace at the beginning of this time, but halfway through there will be a major desolation in the temple. That's the abomination that causes desolation. And Daniel is setting up a framework for what is going to happen in the future of Israel in a 7-year period of time. And you can figure if Daniel got the first 69 weeks of this prophecy right, what he's saying about the 70th week is going to come to pass as well. And we as believers in the Bible should look forward to that with great anticipation, knowing that it in fact is going to be true. There will be a covenant of peace at this time, but halfway through there will be a major desolation of the temple. I just read that paragraph twice. My apologies. And since the Bible has been accurate time after time in the past, we read it carefully to understand what's coming in the future. May God bless you and bolster your faith as you walk through the Bible, and may we look forward to the return of Christ coming in the future. It's going to be glorious, and if you believe in Jesus, you get to return with him. God bless you.